So I hope you guys have been enjoying taking a look at the commandments and the doctrines of demons. I hope you've had time to think about that. I actually got wrapped up into the process, and I thought, Dave, you're getting way too complicated here. Don't overanalyze it. So I went back to the scriptures, and that simplified a couple of things. And you know, when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's a declaration. Like when Bill was just talking, I was thinking, you know, you've seen some insurrections in your lifetime, right? Haven't we seen those like around the world? But think about an insurrection between the angels and God, and between angels and Jesus. I mean, what would that insurrection look like? So as the passage we looked at today, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together, because he is the truth. He doesn't just proclaim the truth, he is the truth. And then when he talks to his followers, he says, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine, you're followers of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And as we talked about the Ten Commandments, the purpose of the commandments wasn't to say, you guys are bad. It was to say, here's the situation. Let me show you how to be free. And so each of the commandments has freedom in it. Well, turn over to... because this has kind of been the center part of what we've been talking about. If you turn over to 1 Timothy 4, I probably have this on a slide, and we could read it together, but take your personal device, whatever that looks like. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. But the Spirit explicitly, specifically, categorically, says that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. Now, where are those originating? That's what the next verse is talking about. By means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. So think about a hot grill. You take a nice piece of meat. You put it on the hot grill and it goes, shh, okay? That's the searing that's being talked about here. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. So way worse than a grill, worse than the Traeger. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Now, I've been thinking about that. And years ago, I associated that with, you know, priests not marrying and different things like that. Got a battery going on or something. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, that's two interesting categories, forbidding marriage. And think about where we're at right now with regard to marriage. I can't tell you how many 30-year-olds that I've talked to that have explained to me how people look at marriage now. And it's basically kind of forbidden the way God described it in the scriptures. And I've also been thinking about that whole idea about foods and all of the, I don't know, some of the new perspectives on religion that are coming into our culture to make it about new kinds of outside things. It's really almost like its own religion, because that's what we did with the Ten Commandments, right? We turned it into a list of you better do these things or you're going to get in trouble. I mean, I'm kind of feeling that way right now about lots of different things in our culture. God has created these things to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. So he spends time explaining the context so you don't get goofed up in the midst of the process. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is set apart by means of the word of God and by prayer. So, what demons do is they twist the truth. These guys are good at it. They're good at it. They started doing it right at the founding of the world, and they were really roaring and ready to go by the time Adam and Eve were in the garden. I mean, what did he say? You're not going to die. Who does God think he is? And this is where the whole spewing things back at God. Satan looks at the Ten Commandments and the law of God, and it makes him sick. It makes him sick because he has rejected the authority of his king. So demons twist the truth. And as you and I live our lives, that's what we're in the middle of. You know, I'd like to look at things and go, man, things are awful right now. They're so bad. And then I go back to the time of Noah. When God destroyed the earth, what did he say? The wickedness of man is awful. I regret that I have made man upon the earth. So I've been thinking about that. I know I mentioned it a few weeks ago, but just that idea that the demons are very antithetical to God. It's not like they think that they're going to just cause a little trouble. They think they're going to overcome. They think they are going to tip the balance of power. So think about that. Well, that made me think about you and me, and, you know, it's hard enough just being human, right? Because I have so many weaknesses. I have so many personal foibles that I have that I have to navigate around all the time. And I'm thinking, you know, then I've got this demonic crap that is woven into everything around me. And it has been since I was born. And that got me to thinking about, once you define that demons twist the truth, what do men do? And God directed me back to Romans. I actually spent a bunch of the week here. If you turn over there with me, Romans, just a couple of verses. Romans chapter 1. And it's right in the beginning of Paul explaining the picture of what's going on with regarding salvation. And these are like heavy-duty words right here. The word wrath is in here. A lot of people don't like the word wrath. It's not just mentioned once in the Bible. It's mentioned many times in the Bible. Even Jesus uses the word wrath. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. What's the truth that I'm suppressing? Well, I'm made in the image of God, right? Aren't we made in the image of God? So if I don't suppress that, then I have to deal with the fact that I'm accountable to God because God made me. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, his attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And then he goes on, which we're going to look at this passage a little bit more as this teaching unfolds. But that's kind of the framing. Demons twist the truth. Humans suppress the truth. What did Satan do in the garden? He twisted the truth. What did Adam and Eve do? They suppressed the truth. What's the first thing they did when they realized they were naked? They went and hid themselves. Who told you you were naked? And that just really struck me when you're talking about living in a world that has the influences of demons like we do, and it's not something new. I think it might have been, we might be taking it to new heights, you know, based on what I see of history. The doctrines of demons oppose what's true. They recast what is true about God into different images. Think Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. So the doctrines of demons look at commandment number one and they go, okay, we know how to capture the heart of humanity. If we can work with humanity to make sure that they have something to put in the place of God, then their mayhem begins to come to fruition. So that's just kind of the big picture of what I've been thinking about. And I don't know what, you know, you might be listening to me right now and going, I don't know, what does this have to do with me? Well, honestly, as a teacher, I got to tell you that it has everything to do with you. Because you are under assault. I am under assault. It's not just a broad blah, 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 we're all under assault. It's you. When you became a follower of Christ, you went under a new kind of assault. And that's what you're experiencing. So a couple weeks ago, I kind of laid this out. This is like, you know, where the Ten Commandments fit in. And the table was set for the need. Remember in Genesis chapter 6, you know, we're going to read about those angels that left their first estate and they came down and they cohabited with women and they had children. So we're going to talk about that and kind of have that pull together here because we're going to look at the book of Jude today. We talked a little bit about the generations in Deuteronomy 6. You know, it's my job to pass on to my kids the truth about the one living God. It's their job to pass that along to their children. That was woven right into what it meant to be a Hebrew. If you're going to be a Jew, hear, O hear, Israel, the Lord our God, he is one. And you shall speak of him when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And then Deuteronomy 30, if you remember, we talked about this a little bit, basically said, hey, don't take the Ten Commandments and go, I can't do those things. That's not true. There are varying degrees of freedom that happen in obedience to the commands of God because it means to follow God. I'm not talking about religious baloney here, which is how I encountered the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about life-giving words that were given to set us free. And then Joshua talks about, okay, I hear the word, now I'm devoted to it. Jesus, we just talked about true freedom. And then James and Romans and Galatians explain faith and the law. And I think a couple weeks ago I mentioned the Song of Moses and the Lamb in the book of Revelation. I looked at it more this week. One song. One song. It wasn't the Song of Moses and then the Song of the Lamb. One song. Think about that. So that's kind of the context of the thread that we've been looking at. You know, we had to take care of that Resurrection Day thing, and that kept us kind of busy. So, and this is the passage that we just read out of Timothy. I was going to give you a chance to read it out loud, but I was keeping my options open. Just because I love you and care for you. So many levels. So you got the me gods, and that's what a doctrine of demon is. It's a me god, and you've got the living God. There are basically, you talk about lots of different gods, but there are basically two gods. You know, there's the living God, and then there's the me god. Look at some of the passages, the prophetic passages about Satan. You know? When he decided to exalt himself and separate himself, Satan was one of the three cherubim angels that covered the holiness of God. And he chose to dump that because of what he found inside of himself that he thought was better. Now, when I make comments about we don't even begin to comprehend the power of angels, we don't even begin to comprehend the power of the angelic world. And so there's all these anti-God commandments that everything flows out of. And I've asked you to kind of think about that. Where do you see the doctrines of demons, you know, in our culture? So that was on a handout 2 weeks ago. So I'm sure you took that home and devoured it. And that led me to a series of questions, 10 questions. The bottom one, how are we craving what belongs to others? Middle one, in what ways are we compromising family integrity? I just kind of looked at all of the doctrines of demons, and then I looked at the commandments, and I thought, what's happening in our culture right now? And I came up with these, and we're not going to talk about them, but we're going to develop the idea a little bit. A lot of information. That's why I've been giving you handouts, right? And I know some people don't take handouts, but I accept you. So, your sheet, your handout. Basically, I took that, I took this list and put it at the top of the sheet so you don't have to worry about taking a picture or writing all these things down, because it would be a lot to write down. And now I want to, with that list at the top, I want to return to the idea of suppressing the truth out of Romans. So, are you following me? Go back to Romans chapter 1. Remember the part where it said, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, excuse me, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. So this is where I get the whole thing about the me gods and the living God. They did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart became black. It became darkened. Professing now to be wise, to be liberated from the law of the living God, professing to be wise, they became fools. Okay, what happened? They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. They wanted to make gods that worked for them. Gods that came out of their world, not out of God's world. See, the Ten Commandments, they ended up being on tablets. Where were they extracted from? They were extracted from the heart of God. Think about that. That's who God is. That's not just what God said. That's who God is. So, now I can get in trouble culturally now in verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Okay? So think about what happened with Adam and Eve, and then think about what happened with the angels, and you wonder why sexual impurity is so woven into not just our culture, it has been for a long time. They dishonor their bodies. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. Two kinds of worship. Creature worship and creator worship. Therefore, for this reason, verse 26, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Stick with me, teenagers. Make sure that as you are told by your teachers and by your culture what all this stuff really means. If you ever want to just sit down and have a conversation about how you get around this passage, I don't know how you get around it. They exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman, and they burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the true penalty of their error. And so think about the idea of suppressing the truth, grabbing a hold of idols, and then thinking about the whole idea about the error, the premise of the error that is happening with the issue of impurity. You know, and I'm not a dope. I know that what happens on the outside is totally tied into what happens on the inside. So, you know, I'm not a moralist, you know. I'm not a list maker. All I can do is say, hey, my heart belongs to my Father. My heart belongs to God. And I can just pass that on to you because I'm wrestling with that. I'm still wrestling with that. And just verse 28, as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not fitting and are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness and greed and evil, okay? Take your sheet. I want to make this easy for you because it's a long list. And there's like four or five times that Paul riffs and Peter riffs on these ideas, these lists. You can almost see them sitting over there just writing them out in the sand before they put them in the letter. So look at the top, the me gods and the doctrines of demons. With 10 questions. 10 questions you can ask yourself. I ask them of myself. Then we just looked at the passage that we were talking about. And just as they did not see fit in the middle of the page to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which were not proper. Okay. So if I'm going to try to find the doctrines of demons, this is how I'm going to find them. It's too easy just to say, well, there's all these bad things, and then there's this good thing. You know? But they didn't just leave it that way in the scriptures. God spent a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of lives explaining to us the core of what this meant. And so I listed the things out that are in Romans. And then I did word studies. So I've got this great program and I just click and boom, the root word pops up, and then that word has two roots and I pop on that and I go, oh, this word was put together from these two root words, which is why it was translated the way that it is. And sometimes I just can't help myself. I go, I have to translate it myself because I'll look in the Message or I'll look in NIV or the NASB and I'll go, that's not what it was saying. You'll notice I call that the NAB, the Nadler Abridged Version. So I went through and I did these word studies. And so instead of reading the words that you've heard before, I'd like to read the Living Bible translation, the Amplified Bible. The things which are not proper. This is what demons are going to promote in you. This is what demons want for you. They want you to be involved with things that are not proper. It is not just action, it's about heart. They want these things to become a part of your heart so that it springs out of your heart so they can own you. Twisted thinking. Devious thinking. Wanting more of what belongs to others. a malicious intent toward other people's success. I was at a car dealership this weekend and looking for a birthday present for Bernie because it was her birthday. And I've always, you know, one of my first cars I was drawn to was a Datsun 240Z. You probably might be able to find this in a, you know, online somewhere. But that's evolved into the, you know, into their Z car, and it's a beautiful sports car. And about every 2 years I look at it and I go, well, maybe this is the year. And I'm walking out to get in the car because I'd gone and done a little bit of business, and there's a guy standing there, and he's got white hair, and he looks a little bit older than me, had more hair than me for sure. He's standing there, and he's got this really cool thing that he's got his phone on, and I'm thinking, wow, that's like a phone belt. And it looked like he could go like this. I thought, I've never seen that before, but that's pretty cool. And I'm walking by him, and because I've learned to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, I said, man, you are living the dream. And he kind of turned sideways and said, yeah, he said, I am, and I've earned it. And I said, good for you. I didn't say you have your reward. I said, good for you. And it was really interesting because as I got in my car and I started backing out, I saw him looking over at me because he was trying to size up, you know, what had just happened? What just happened to him? Was I making fun of him? Which I wasn't. Malicious intent toward other successes. We can get caught up in that. Jealous over what someone has that you do not. To actively bring death to someone. There are so many ways to kill a life. Right? Agitated quarreling. These are the things that demons try to get us involved with. Baiting people to get a desired result. Hoping for what is bad for somebody else. Can you imagine? Hello. Whisperings to spread info that will diminish another person. Promotion of a person's real or perceived weaknesses. I mean, don't you, that feeling that you get when somebody's giving you the inside information on what that other person's really all about? It's one of the things that makes me the most sick, you know, of watching people and how we deal with one another. Spewing angel vomit, haters of God. I like my translation. I might not want to share it at a dinner, but varying degrees of aggression and bullying are found in that particular word, that insolent. You kind of think of insolence as just one aspect of that, but varying degrees of aggression and bullying. Working to appear better than somebody else. This is interesting, boastful. Wandering imposters. Think about it. I mean, boastful people, wandering imposters. Looking for and inspiring evil. And I thought this was interesting, disobedient to parents. And why does this end up on this list? It's not the only time it happens. There's a reason that in the Ten Commandments it talks about honoring your father and your mother. And basically, it means to erode confidence in the family. Erode the confidence that the family is who God says that they are. Think about that. Not making use of God reasoning, but relying upon human reasoning. Untrustworthy, an agreement breaker. That's what I was when I became a believer. Man, I didn't mind breaking any agreement. You know, I had no conscience when it came to that. Without the ability for familial affection. I'm not talking about mom and dad. I'm talking about what you see and what you experience with other brothers and sisters and other human beings, where you experience family-like affection. Demons don't like it. It's not good for their kingdom. And finally, lacking pity and or compassion. And then the passage ends with, although they know the just dealings of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. So demons try to get us to suppress the truth, and they're right there to say, oh, I've got something for you here. This will help you here. Turn the page over. A lot of content here today. Hey Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, shortest book, right, in the Bible? To those who are the called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. So we're making a transition. I know this is a lot, but now we'll talk about this the next time we're together. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Hi. I want to multiply this to you. I want to continue our conversation that we've already had. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, what we have in common, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Now think about this. Crept in unnoticed. Nobody knew. Those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turned the grace of our Lord God into self-serving sensuality. Think about the list we just read. And saying no to our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. Those italics are mine because those were my word studies as I looked at the essence of what the word seemed to mean. Now, I deeply want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, though you know all things once and for all, I know that you get it, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. And there's Genesis 6 again. Pops up again. Gnarly, nasty thing. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but they abandoned their proper purpose. He has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Somehow I missed this. That's happening right now. That's not talking about previous to the lake of fire. That happened because those suckers left their estate and they messed with the plan of God. He has kept them in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these, and that's a hard one to get around too, Sodom and Gomorrah, if you really read what's there. Since these in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went beyond the boundaries of their designated purpose. That's what strange flesh. They went after strange flesh. Sounds really King James, doesn't it? They went beyond the boundaries for their designed purpose. Do you think about that when you think about rebellion? Going beyond what I was designed to do? As exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. So they're a picture for what's going to happen in the future. Yet in the same way, these men, also by dreaming, and I want to just kind of get you into this book because I'd like you to spend some time wrestling with the idea of the doctrines of demons and suppressing the truth, and we'll come back to this whenever we get back together. In the same way, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh. Interesting, it starts with dreaming. So they're coming up with their own ideas, right? I can do this better. defile the flesh, reject authority, revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, what? It's like I was talking about the book of Enoch with somebody the other day, and I haven't read it for a long time. I need to go look at it again because, you know, these are some of these things that just kind of pop up in different places. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Try to imagine that conflict. You know, the devil and Michael, two archangels. You know, what did the devil want to do with Moses' body? But these men slander and take lightly the things which they do not understand and the things which they know by instinct. Like unreasoning animals, by these they are destroyed. And you'll notice that there are three things in the next paragraph that are highlighted that are given as examples. Cain, Balaam, and the sons of Korah. And they're there for a reason. Basically to explain how demons interfaced with those people and got what they wanted from them. And these things have been written for our examples, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot of stuff. I mean, are you sure you're going to be able to handle it? I'm struggling, you know. I'm struggling. I feel like I'm, you know, just kind of have more layers to unpack. And God just continues to teach me and to show me. And hopefully when it comes to this demarcation between who you are and what God's purpose is for you, what is God's purpose for you? You know, love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And as you do that, be fruitful. Multiply. Bless the earth with the presence of God. You know, you can do that no matter how crappy of a time that you live in history. That can be done.